We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
For goodness sake, Kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, welcome into the Annie Fry Show. Happy Monday. Glad that you were here today. You might notice my voice being a little scratchy. I feel completely fine. My throat doesn't hurt in any way, shape, or form. But this weekend, my voice decided to take at least half a day off. So I'm pushing through. Happy to be here with you. Like I said, feel great. Nothing's wrong. Just the voice. Anyway, regardless, man, the news just keeps coming, doesn't it? The inflation problem that we're experiencing in this country. I turn on the news today. I'm watching the news. I'm taking it in. Doesn't it just kind of feel like all of a sudden everybody puts their hands in the middle and says, okay, we're talking about this now? And you wonder, like, how much of the decision to change the topic on the national scene, at least in the news media, be it what the cable news channels talk about, and then that does tend to have a trickle effect down into what other more non-traditional media sources will discuss. Seems as though the narrative has changed a little bit when it comes to the economy. President Biden, he got the Inflation Reduction Act passed, and, you know, good for him for doing something to fight back against inflation. Round of applause for the Biden administration. We celebrated. We had a party. James Taylor sang a really, really sad song. Their choice. Strange. Yep. And then everyone's like, but wait, this didn't reduce inflation. Womp womp. That's the arc of it. They got the press bump out of getting the Inflation Reduction Act through. And then you hear a bunch of people in the Biden administration coming out to you and saying, oh, yeah, we're going to help you out. You spent a few thousand dollars on making your home energy more efficient. We're going to give you some of your tax dollars back. Excuse me? That's like the epitome of peeing on my leg and telling me it's raining. I'm not that stupid, and I would like for you to stop. Let me try to solve my problems for myself. Charles Payne was talking on Harris Faulkner's show, In Focus, and Faulkner Focus, I should say. And Charles Payne has the ability to really speak directly to an issue. And when we listen, if you tune in the news media, the news media that you pay attention to and consume because you feel like you trust the direction that they're headed. You feel like you kind of know what you're going to get and you're just going to find out what the details are today. That kind of becomes exhaustive. That kind of becomes, it's so predictable that it's almost like a drug. Like you just need another hit. You know, it's not really good for you, but you got to tune in because you just got to feel, you got to remember that you're the good guy and the other people are the bad guy. Is that, I mean, you ever get that vibe? Well, what's being done? Who's willing to talk about the real issues? Who's willing to talk about actual solutions as opposed to the bad guy on the other side and making sure that at the end of the day, whatever you take away from this segment or from this pundit, that you understand, hey, they're the bad guy and we're the good guy. But more importantly, they're the bad guy. That's the key here that most people in political silly season want you to understand. It's exhausting for your emotions because they prey upon your emotions. And in the midst of preying upon your emotions, they completely ignore the fact that you've got a brain in your head. That's a problem. That's something that is purposefully constructed. It is dismissive of your own ability to navigate these issues, to even identify the issues as problematic for you in your household. That's the goal. That's the plan. And they're pretty good at it. And the closer you get to midterms, the closer we get to the point where we understand that elections are imminent, 43 days from today. The more that your emotions should step into the equation, where your brain has been taking in the capacity of this is happening and that's happening and who's doing what to best prop up the American people with the American people, not for the American people. That should be the day-to-day, and then you get close to an emotion to a midterm election, and it's happening, and it's 43 days away, and then your emotion sets in because you care, you're passionate about it. There's nothing wrong with that. I know a lot of people who are incredibly passionate about the president, former President Trump, and his campaign and his loss, and boy, I saw quite a lot of that after Hillary ran and lost herself. But the question is, when it comes to an election, you got to start with the thoughts in the head and then subsidize it with the feelings in your heart. And hopefully the feelings in your heart is what motivates you to go out and do something, to be involved, not necessarily to run. You don't have to be the person who says, yes, it's going to be me. I'm going to be the one who takes on this challenge and I will win this seat and I will represent the people well. Although, if that is you, good. We have three people coming in the studio at 125 who want to represent St. Clair County in Illinois in a way that they have not been represented in quite some time. We have people in St. Clair County who have, I know you're listening to this show on a regular basis and you kind of feel like St. Clair County is a lost cause. You want to make sure that when you have the opportunity in front of you to make a difference, that you step up and you do something about it. And it comes around every 2 years, and you think, gosh, man, it would be so great if we just had the opportunity. You have that opportunity right now. It's here. Sam Page, you got the opportunity to set him aside with a different option. In Missouri, Roy Blunt is retiring. I think Roy Blunt has represented the state of Missouri well, but I think that the state of Missouri has evolved in the time that Roy Blunt has been in the Senate. And I think Eric Schmidt is a fantastic choice for people in this state to elect him to represent them in a true and honest way in the United States Senate. How many different people do we have in running for congressional districts that have the opportunity to greatly improve the constituents' lives just by giving them back their freedom and their liberty? That's the essence of what we're talking about here. LaToya Greenwood represents the 114th district in St. Clair County. Kevin Schmidt's a Republican, a businessman, a local businessman who would like to take her place and give people in the 114th State House District an opportunity to know what it would be like to be represented by somebody else. LaToya Greenwood has been in office for some time. She is somebody who is very loyal to the Democratic Party. She assumed office in 2017. She's looking to be reelected once again. And she, in her time spent since 2017, the areas that she represents, have they gotten better or have they gotten worse? Does she promise the status quo and threatened that if you were to elect the Republican, the big bad Republican in Kevin Schmidt, that things would go dramatically south. I mean, the district is not excelling and it's incredibly corrupt. If you're in the 114th district, choose somebody new. And if Kevin Schmidt doesn't do the job, choose somebody new in 2 years. But the job's not getting done right now. Ashley Hunsaker is running in the 113th against Jay Hoffman. Jay Hoffman is, she's going to tell you about this, along with Kevin Schmidt at 125 when they're in studio with us. But these are people who are establishment Democrat Republicans in the state of Illinois that will take a very convenient vote against their party from time to time so that they don't have to get campaigned against on those specific issues. But you'll pay attention. They're never going to be the deciding no vote against the Democratic Party. Jay Hoffman has not represented the 113th State House District well, and you deserve a different opportunity. You deserve a choice and a chance, and you have it in Ashley Hunsaker. Wavy Lester is running as a Republican in the Illinois Senate District 57 against Christopher Belt, who, from what I understand, has a lot of interesting questions surrounding his time in office and his candidacy now. Wavy Lester is a wonderful person. He served his country. He came to this area via Scott Air Force Base, and he has chosen to step in and represent his conservative values as a black Republican. And he's done this in the face of people who want to call him names because they care more about the color of his skin than how he came to understand his own political experience. We're going to talk to Wavy Lester at 125 in studio for the rest of that hour. All of these people are stepping in to try to make a difference in people's lives, but they need to have a fighting chance. They need to be able to step in and get your support and move forward. Charles Payne was addressing the issues that you know that are taking place every single day in your life, and you've been talking about them. You've been feeling it. You've been experiencing it long before anybody on the news told you that this is the case. Charles Payne identifies that very well.
You know, they're debating now the term recession. A lot of people are going to be in a depression. A lot of American families, I hate to even talk about it like that, but it's true. You know, I was down in D.C. At a football game this weekend, and everywhere I went, people like, is it going to get worse? And every single, dozens of people ask me the same question.
We're talking about whether we're in a recession. There are a lot of people who feel like they're in a depression. That's pretty frightening stuff. And you know it, and you don't need anyone to tell you, oh, that's not what we're calling it. We don't give a crap what you call it. Fix it. Get out of the way. Take big government, set it aside, and give this country, or we'll have to take this country back to the people. Instead of big government program after big government program after big government program that has to be paid for by the very people who are supposed to be helped by these programs. They take your money, they hand it back to you, and they ask you to say thank you. It's unbelievable.
And by the way, the dream of American home, it's gone. The dream of owning a home.
I'm reading now that most people won't be able to afford a home. It'll take them 20 years to save up for a down payment, what used to take them less than 10.
Just the same house you could have bought at the beginning of the year. It's over for most Americans.
That's terrifying. That's not building back better. The Biden administration is breaking down the American dream. And I think a lot of people would be very, very correct in wondering, are you doing this on purpose? Is it going to get worse?
It's not going to be a soft landing. He more or less admitted that last week, which is when the bottom really fell out this market. And one of the problems, again, and I just say this is why I go back to the White House, the Federal Reserve wants to stop the economy from growing. They want to stop inflation.
Then Biden's got to stop printing cash.
Right. You can't have both forces at each other. You can't have another
trillion dollars
coming in for student loan forgiveness, the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. You got $1 trillion coming in, and the Fed is trying to stop people from spending money. They can't coexist.
He's right. The money that is being spent is your money. And it's making things worse. And economists have been saying that this is what is going to happen. There are people out there who have spoken on this issue and said, this is what's going to happen. And they don't listen because I don't think that our goals are the same. Stephen Moore will be with us in about 45 minutes or so to talk about this very issue. Charles Payne spoke more on the current recession. He drops the D word and says depression. And the rest of us are sitting around here going, what happens next? What are we preparing for here on a personal basis? We're not even halfway done with this president's administration. We're not even halfway through his first term. How bad could it get, and what do I need to do right now to make sure that my family is going to be protected from the Biden administration? How do I need to insulate myself from the Democratic Party and President Biden's administration? How do I need to make sure that the hard work that I'm putting in to providing for my family, the hard work that my husband is putting in to provide for our family, how do I make sure that that's enough? And that President Biden doesn't destroy what we're trying to build on our own as we move through the rest of his presidency. I'm not 100% sure what the answer is to that question, but it's at 105. I'm going to ask Stephen Moore that and find out what he has to say. The YouTube live chat poll today. Would love for you to go give us a vote there. Will the GOP's commitment to America, we covered that last week. They put together a Newt Gingrich-esque contract with America. This is what I need to know from you. Is the commitment to America by the Republican Party going to make a positive difference for Republicans in the midterm? It's a yes or no question. Go give us a vote there and let us know what you think in the comments. We'll be back with more on this when we come back. Don't go away.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Listening to The Annie Fry Show. The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
Don't want to say the name Trump, but you said before we had a mini recession at the end of the pandemic that we bounced back from.
At the beginning of the pandemic, we had the fastest bear market in history. We saw this with the swiftest recession in history. The bottom fell out of our economy, and guess what? We had the fastest turnaround in the history of America, and it was all mostly organic. Yeah, we did save. You know, they obviously printed money to help people when you stopped them from working, but we let Americans be Americans.
We let Americans be Americans, man. When you know that there are some extenuating circumstances that have led to where we are in our economy right now. Do you remember people talking about the V-shaped recovery? That was to suggest that we were going to plummet down because of the pandemic, because we shut everything down, because we kept people from working and we decided to pay them with money that we didn't have money that they weren't making in their paychecks to take out for tax dollars. And then it goes through the government and they hand it back to you. And they're like, here you go. Say thank you. Just like what I say when I talk to Molly. Say thank you. When Molly walks up to me and hands me something, she says, thank you. It's hard to teach a please and thank you are big in my house. Very important issues. When I Which she says, I think she says more, but it kind of sounds like mom. Like if she wants something, she points out, she's like, ma, like it's this shriek, this holler. And it's like, ma, it sounds like she's saying more, more, more. So we keep going, say please, say please. And when she hands us something, we say thank you to like teach her to say thank you. But she just says thank you when she gives it to you. Because that's what, when she gives us something, we say thank you. So that's what she says now. I'm struggling with it. The government wants you to say thank you. The government wants you to get your money back from them after they take it from your paycheck. And then they want you to go, okay, yeah, all right. And then thanks for helping us. Thank you for being there for me. That's what good government is. Wrong-o. Get out of the way, just like Charles Payne was talking about, just like he was saying. The biggest competitor that business has right now is its own government.
And this right here, you got a warm business. You got a war on success. You put green energy in the green utopia of, above the average American. It's a different circumstance, and that's why it's so desperate right now.
It's a different circumstance. And here's the question, and this is what I'm going to look forward to talking to Stephen Moore about at 105. Listen to what Charles says.
This
here.
Is so volatile right now, so dramatically moving to the downside that we'll be oversold at some point, and all of these things. Listen, the reason the Fed wants to do this is that people get broke, you know, and when you're broke, the
you
Fed
borrow
will walk away.
Money. Oh my goodness! It's so
sad to
cyclical.
Say. It's sad to say, right. But once we lose a million or two jobs, then they think their job will be done.
Charles Payne.
Yeah.
The truth hurts.
It's sad.
But we all want to know the truth.
The saddest part, though, is it didn't have to be this bad.
That's exactly right. It didn't have to go this way. It didn't have to be like this. And the way that the economists fix this problem is to make some people go broke. People are going to have to lose their jobs. Didn't have to be this way. I have yet to, the only thing that indicates to me that the Biden administration understands that inflation is a problem is that they named their energy bill the Inflation Reduction Act. It doesn't reduce inflation, but what it does do is it acknowledges to people on the outside who aren't going to take the time to read the bill, and good grief, those bills are so huge that a lot of times the people who vote on them don't even read them. When you have the administration name their climate and energy bill the Inflation Reduction Act, what that means is that they know that it's an issue to you and they want you to know and believe that they're paying attention. But really, it takes very little effort to dig just a little bit under the surface to find out what they care about. And what they care about is not what you care about. And if they are elected to represent you and what they care about is not what you care about, then they don't represent you. And they don't respect you. They actively disrespect you. The people who are elected right now and who have voted yes on this bill, the Inflation Reduction Act, that spends a ton of money, ton of your money, disrespect you so much that they take their number one priority and they call it something that they feel that you're going to hear and go, oh, well, that's swell. Thanks for paying attention to my needs. And then you're just going to go about your day and go to the grocery store later that night and be like, oh, it's okay. Biden's on it. Yeah, he's on it. He's got his fingerprints all over it. Inflation is through the roof because this administration doesn't respect your needs. They don't respect your wants. They don't respect your struggles. So much so, in fact, that they relabel your struggles as part of the transition because their priority supersedes yours. Ironically, outside of a democratic republic like we have here in this country, that is what a dictatorship is. Because of the election process, because in 43 days you get to go change your elected officials regularly to go hold them accountable for their disrespect towards you. Because we have that ability, you have to show up in force. And it's not going to be enough to just show up and vote and wear your sticker and put your Facebook post up that says you voted. It's not going to be enough to do that. The actual effort and the necessity of being involved and engaged right now is what actually makes the difference. I'm going to do a quick Google here while I'm talking, but early voting in Illinois is starting very soon. You can go to the polls and you can cast your ballot so that you can be heard and you can start getting other people to the ballot box so that there's no excuse to not be able to do it on election day and 43 days from now. You need to get people involved and engaged right now. You need to be able to talk to people about issues that matter. Listen to what matters to them first. You don't have to be, you know, explaining to them like the big smarties in the media explain to us, oh, it's not a recession. We're not calling it a recession. Well, of course you're not, because that's a bad word. You don't want us to call it a recession because that reflects poorly on you. Well, yeah, so does the actual real economy. So does the idea that spending $3.25 on gas is somehow or another a sweet find these days. Americans know this stuff. They're aware of it. We've got an understanding right now that the economy is bad. And even people on CNN are saying it could possibly get way worse.
Look, I'm calling it a take no prisoners economy. And the investors, homebuyers, car buyers, companies, maybe even workers, no one's spared here for now. And this is in the global fight against inflation, right? Global central banks are jacking up interest rates. No end in sight there until high inflation is vanquished. The Fed has done it now 5 times. The Fed chief himself acknowledging the Fed's medicine will be painful, Erica, for everyday Americans, for consumers, for borrowers, even workers. He says, I wish there was a painless way to do that. There simply isn't.
That's Christine Romans, the chief business correspondent for CNN, folks, saying it's going to be painful for Americans. It hurts right now. We can't sit around and, you know, I was speaking at the Hope Clinic for Women in Granite City, who ironically, I had a man who messaged me who came out to that event yesterday. And I wasn't very descriptive when I talked about on air what the Hope Clinic for Women was. It's an abortion facility in Granite City, Illinois. He was thinking it was like a women's shelter. And I should have been more clear, but I was very glad, and he was glad that he came out to be a part of a rally with like-minded people to try to end abortion in Illinois. But you talk to people, real people who are experiencing the hardships and the difficulties of Joe Biden's America. He has had his fingerprints on. He has his fingerprints on the history of this country now. He has 40-year records when it comes to inflation. He can't even admit that that's difficult for the average American person. But you have people out there that are hurting in a whole host of issues. And every issue, every single one that gets presented to the American people, that gets presented between neighbors when you're speaking with them across the fence, when you're talking to people at Little League games or at school functions or at church groups, whatever it is, whatever these issues are, you have two sides of the issue. And the two sides aren't the Republican side and the Democrat side. There's an informed side, and then there's the other side that works to misinform, disinform, or keep you from being informed and remind you that the other guy is Hitler. I mean, this is the actual conversation that is taking place from prominent people in the Democratic Party. I know plenty of people who are Republicans who I would consider to not be informed on the issues. They just are Republicans at heart. They've always been Republicans. They're probably always going to be Republicans. They don't take the time to inform themselves on the issues to the extent that they can carry a conversation with somebody who disagrees with them, maybe for the same exact reasons, because they've always been Democrats. They've always voted Democrat. They may always vote Democrat. That's not a place to position yourself to make a difference. I know a lot about these issues, and I still can find it just jaw-dropping that somebody who has spent the time to educate themselves on a particular issue doesn't see it my way. Well, that's because we have different experiences. We have different life perspectives. We have different responsibilities in our current lives. But the only way to cross the divide that people who are in elected office don't even want you to be able to see across, they want the divide to be so big that you can't even recognize that there are people on the other side looking across towards you, asking you about, why is it that you believe that? How could you possibly see it that way? That's an opportunity. That's when you get to open up with a discussion where you get to indicate to that other person that you do care about their existence more than the fact that you're standing on such greatly divided opposite sides. The issues that are important to you may not be the issues that are the most important to them. Listen to them. Listen to what is important to them and then talk to them about why you see what you see on your side of the issue. And it goes both ways. The worst thing that can happen to an establishment government, be it Democrat-controlled or Republican-controlled, the worst thing that can happen to those people is that folks like you and me talk to people on the other side of the aisle without having them have that power and that influence on controlling how that conversation goes. Because right now they do. They've got the cameras, they've got the microphones, they've got the social media. In many cases, they can police what is allowed to be spoken on social media, what is even allowed to be discussed on social media. We've experienced that here on this show. We push forward and we deal with it. I'm sure you've experienced it as well. A lot of people want to police what even gets to be discussed. Have those conversations anyway. Talk to people who you generally wouldn't talk to and listen to them. Spend the time engaging and listening. And see if anything changes. See if there's a difference that is made. See if you end up caring more, understanding that person more without working to try to persuade them. And maybe they'll listen to you. And maybe they'll understand you more. The divide closes between people in this country when we push the politicians out and we have that conversation here amongst voters. And we make our own difference. And we prioritize people over politics. It's time that that happens in this country. It's time that it happens in the state of Illinois. It's time that it happens in the state of Missouri. That's what makes us strong. What has made America strong has always been you and me and people who vote. That's what matters. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Wiggins America, we're going to talk a little bit about stats on the labor force, mental health, and drug use post-pandemic. Are we still recovering, or is this the new normal? We'll talk to Ryan Wiggins about that when we come back. Vote in the YouTube live chat poll. If you were with us when we started YouTube, I think we had some audio issues. We fixed them, I think. So come back. Come say hi. Leave a comment and make sure you vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Will the GOP's commitment to America make a positive difference for Republicans in the midterm? Yes or no? Can't wait to hear what you think about that. Ryan Wiggins in studio when we come back.
Listening to The Annie Fry Show.
I used to rule the world. Seas would rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep.
Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Monday, folks. Yes, it is a happy Monday because you're here and that makes me happy. Thanks for being with us. A reminder, 97.1 FM Talk obviously is a radio station that we're on, but we have an app and it's called the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Stream us anywhere you go. And if you're having trouble with a signal where you are, or if you want to take us in a building and you don't have a radio, that app is a super simple way to listen to the show anytime. You can also rewind the show. So if you can't listen to us starting at noon, you get back in the building and you want to listen to us from the start, you can go on the Audacy app and rewind up to 24 hours in advance of where you access the app in the first place. I want to remind folks as well that we are broadcasting live Wednesday from the Ruler Foods in St. Charles. I am so excited to be out there. The whole crew will be out along with Princess Storm with Hot 104.1 because we are supporting Princess Storm's diaper drive. And I have made very big commitments from the Annie Fry Show faithful, the 97.1 faithful. I'm hoping that we show up in a really, really big way with diapers to donate to this Princess Storm's diaper drive where she sends them to help St. Louis families that are in need. So I'll talk a little bit about this later in the show. I don't spend a whole lot of time on it, but I spoke at the Hope Clinic for Women in Granite City yesterday to a crowd of about, I'd say, 60 to 70 people, given depending on the time, standing out there in front of the Hope Clinic. And it was a pro-life rally to start the 40 Days for Life situation that is addressing the idea that abortion is such a growing industry in the state of Illinois. And when we were out there, somebody showed up and they brought me some diapers, which was really cool. I have them right here. Cool. And they happen to be the size and brand that we buy for Molly. Size 3 loves. And I had them in my car and my husband brought them in. He goes, oh, did you buy diapers? I was going to buy diapers later.
No!
And he started to open the box. I was like, no, those are not for us. So please, please consider getting your diapers secured, bringing them to us on Wednesday from noon to three at the Ruler Foods in St. Charles. I want to have a whole big pile of diapers to help donate to Princess Storm's Diaper Drive. And folks in Illinois, if you want to participate in this, but you don't want to make the afternoon haul all the way to, out to St. Charles, we have two locations, one in Edwardsville and one in Fairview Heights, that you can drop diapers off right now. You're on your lunch break. Go to Walgreens. Buy some diapers, drop them off in Edwardsville at Jen Teske, her realtor office there with RE/MAX Alliance in Edwardsville. It's across from the public library next to Subway. Go to Jen Teske with RE/MAX Alliance. She's agreed to accept them from 9 to 5 Monday through, I guess, tomorrow, since we're doing this on Wednesday. Bring those diapers there in Fairview Heights. C.A. Jones, they're on Lincoln Trail, and they said from 9 to 4 today and tomorrow you can drop off these diapers, and then they will get those diapers to us for the diaper drive. Please, please, please show up for these families in need. It's a simple package of diapers, and we've tried to make it as easy as we possibly can for you to participate. All right, let's get to Wiggins America.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins! So, wanted to focus on this since it's a Monday and everybody's back at work and back at school and stuff. The pandemic is apparently over, according to Joe Biden. Last weekend, he said that on 60 Minutes and apparently caught a lot of people, even in his own administration, off guard. And then the WHO head said, no, we're not. Everybody's walking it back. But with a lot of stats, it actually looks like we are getting at least somewhat back to normal. Things like STDs and drunk driving are getting back to pre-pandemic levels. It's very real.
Oh, man.
But I wanted to focus with you guys, again, since it is a Monday, on the, I guess, kind of the mental health aspect of this, mental health being kind of a broad term for just fatigue overall. That's what, something that this article talks about. It talks about corporate heads seeing this in the workplace a lot. Is this something... to you guys, I'm not even debating whether we're fatigued. It seems to me like that is everybody kind of agrees.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because of the pandemic, or is that something you think we're applying to the pandemic, but is just a pretty normal thing? We're getting back into work and school right now.
The fatigue.
I'm not
itself.
Sure I understand the actual question here.
Is the fatigue something that we are attributing to
fatigue to what?
Fatigue in life. I mean, across the board. People I talk to everywhere are saying they're just tired. They're tired and having trouble getting the energy. Is it because we're getting back to work and our schedules are fuller than they were because things were a lot less or a lot more empty in the last couple of years? Or are we kind of applying something that actually is pretty normal at this time of year to the pandemic just because it's convenient to do so?
I honestly don't hear anybody talking about the pandemic at all.
Pandemic, what?
Yeah. I don't think that it's a factor.
I would go as far to say as we've been like, I know Joe Biden just said the pandemic's over, but I think for Americans, the pandemic has been over for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that I think we would be used to the fatigue from coming out of the pandemic. So I think attributing it to that is kind of lazy and easy to do, but I don't think that that's why people feel tired.
I hear a lot of people do it, and maybe it's because we're so connected to teachers that going back to school and this time of year is usually tired anyway, but that getting the kids to get motivated has been harder than ever before. And I do think that is pandemic related. I think we've lowered the standards across the board with that and with work, and that some of these things getting back to normal is actually going to be quite a bit harder than we think it is.
But we've done it. We're here. I don't think there's any getting back to normal. I think that we're normal. Do you agree with that, Brad? I mean, like, there's nothing really left to do that...
I think the only thing that is left to do is to have politicians just stop talking about it being an issue.
Yeah, because, I mean, the idea of something like, you know, when... First of all, the pandemic is so over that Joe Biden is saying the obvious thing, mm-hmm. and everyone's like, we know. And then the administration's going... What? Like, mm-hmm. you said what? Why did you say that out loud? Like, you weren't supposed to say it because then it could just go on in perpetuity. We're so far back to normal that you have to be reminded, like, with segments like this, that, oh, that pandemic happened.
Yeah, I just think that there are elements, and maybe it's because of what you're saying. The politicians, I mean, Nancy Pelosi just last week extended.
Take the politicians out of it, though.
Life itself.
What reminds you of the pandemic?
Honestly, I think it's just schools. I think it's schools.
People driving by themselves wearing masks.
But even that is not the way it has been in the past.
No,
I mean,
but that's about the only thing that I see that ever reminds me that, oh yeah, we did the pandemic thing.
And they're still doing it.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, it's not, I don't know. My kids have been in school since September 2020 or August 2020. And they've been, my kid, I don't know. That's my experience. That pandemic is far from being a part of my daily life. And I know people who get COVID and they just stay on their own for a couple of days. Like you did when you got sick. It's the same thing. And we just, like, nobody panics. Nobody gasps when someone has COVID. You're like, oh, okay, cool. And it takes I almost wish we weren't talking about it because, like, I think we probably just reminded people that it happened.
I can see that.
Well, I think workforce things are another one that comes up to me a lot. When I'm having trouble getting somebody to serve me, or you see places shutting down because they either can't stay. Well, part of it's inflation. They're just having trouble with prices. But they're having trouble also keeping up with paying workers and keeping workers in the building. And I'm just hoping that's not the new normal. Because if we're saying right now...
It is if we keep electing Democrats, but I don't think it has to do with the pandemic.
Yeah, if we're saying that it is over, which I'm glad we're saying, I just wanted to make sure that is what we're saying, but there are still things that haven't recovered.
Is it what you're saying? Because you seem to be advocating that the pandemic is still lingering.
Well, I think there are effects from it, especially economically and mentally, that maybe were not over.
But if Donald Trump were the president right now, this wouldn't be happening.
Right. Which that's economic.
Correct. But it's not pandemic. Like my point is... To even attach the two circles in the Venn diagram of what we're experiencing today is like to even lend a bit of credence towards. Can we go to 5750? To lend a bit of credence towards the pandemic as being responsible for what's going on right now is way letting Democrats off the hook. If Donald Trump had won that election and was the president right now, this economy would be on fire right now. And that's not just the economy, but you think about all of the different things that are in place right now. You think about Russia and Ukraine, and would Russia be able to do in Ukraine what Russia was doing in Ukraine if the United States was maintaining its energy independence? No.
No, they wouldn't have the finances.
The entire world would be different right now if Joe Biden wasn't the president. And to even suggest that the intersection of what the economic world experiences right now touches the pandemic as if the pandemic is still even a fraction of a reason, an explanation, or the worst, an excuse, is to totally release the Democrats from responsibility of doing the right thing. These are Democrat policies. It may be convenient to say it is related to the pandemic, but that's just so they can do it more. We don't need more.
Yeah. You're making an important distinction between what we've done in response to it versus the actual thing itself.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Stephen Moore is going to join us to talk about the economy and what you need to do to prepare yourself. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.